so we will spend some time in prayer together now. I do want to take a moment to talk about our Lenten study that we're doing. If you haven't picked up Pauses for Lent, pick one up. They're out in the community room. It's an all-church study, or you can do it on your own with daily devotional readings, and I think that'll help us center ourselves in this time of self-examination. As we continue our praise and prayer this morning, we have three prayer quilts that I want to point out. So after the service, please stop and tie a knot, say a prayer, sign their cards so that they can literally be wrapped in our love and prayers. Will you pray with me? O Lord of all creation, we gather together this morning with happy hearts and broken hearts, for we are grateful for all the blessings you give us each day, for loved ones near and far, for the sunshine, for the rain, even for the snow, we give you thanks. For the warmth of a hug or a smile, we give you thanks. We also know there is great hurt in this world. Loved ones who are sick, our neighbors facing violence and persecution. We remind ourselves now that we must turn to you, to put our hope in you, the giver of life, the giver of hope, the messenger of the good news. Lord, please guide our paths and help us know what you would have us to do to help bring your kingdom closer, that your love might invade a world fraught with fear, jealousy, and greed, that you would show us how to love you and love our neighbors in all that we do. We pray this prayer not just for ourselves, but for this church, as important decisions are being discussed for our local, state, and national governments. May all our leaders be filled with your Holy Spirit and wisdom, that your love shines through each and every decision being made. We each bring our own hearts full of thanks and concerns today. In this silent moment, we gratefully unload our burdens on you, God, and humbly seek the rest you offer us. And now in community, let's share the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson is from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Welcome to Lent. Throughout Lent, we're using a wilderness theme, and you can see we have a slide, Wilderness Faith, a Lenten Journey. And during this walk with Jesus, we're going to spend time with him in the wilderness, and we're going to be looking at a number of different issues, items, denial, loneliness, regret, hunger. Have I said anything positive yet? Is anybody really getting excited about these topics? Thirst, death. Today we're going to be talking about temptation and how faith gives us strength. We don't leave it just hanging there. And on Sunday, April 1st, on Easter Sunday, Easter morning, we are going to walk out of the wilderness with Christ. Because we're going to be using the Gospel of Mark all the way through this Lenten season till Easter. And when it was read this morning, Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, it shows us that in this short time period, I'm going to read to you a couple things that happened. Jesus is baptized, heaven is torn open, a dove descends, and God talks to Jesus. And that's just the first three verses. You see, Mark takes an accelerated approach to things. If you didn't know this, Mark is the shortest gospel. Now, we're going to do a little quiz here because it's always fun to have Bible trivia. I'll tell you the book that has the highest number of chapters, and then you will talk about how many chapters Mark has. Now, if you're a Bible theologian, keep it to yourself until we get to the end. So Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew has 28 chapters. So how many does Mark have? Anybody? Throw out a number. 9. I heard 9. 15? 20. Thank you. 28. That would be good. Less. Has to be less. So I'll give you a range. It's somewhere between 10 and 20. I'll tell you that. And Mark, in 16 chapters, does what other Gospels do in 28 or 24. And so Mark takes this approach. Time is short. You've got to do it now. ASAP, it needs to be done yesterday. Does this feel like anybody's life? But Mark takes that approach. He moves through quickly. It's almost clipped. I mean, there are times where you wonder, okay, wasn't there more to this story? And if you look at the major events that take place in just these seven verses that were read this morning, I mean, it's almost like he can't hold it in. He needs to get it out and let everybody know right now. Now, a good friend of mine, Tim Conley, he always would share stories with me, and he would start them out with, "Real quick, Bob." Well, for Tim, it never was. But when Mark, or when I say "real quick," and I'm talking about Mark, Mark means it. It's going to happen quickly. Now, as I said, it was the first gospel written. So when you read Mark and you want a little bit more, take it time and go to Matthew and Luke. And they fill in a lot of these gaps. They add to the story. It doesn't take anything away from Mark. And in this hectic world, you know, there are 16 chapters. You can read it quick. Now, what the other thing you'll notice in Luke and Matthew is some of the passages are word for word. And so they're adding to what Mark already started with. Now, I will tell you, for those of you who like things a little bit slower paced, Mark does slow down. He doesn't stay in this accelerated approach. He slows down a bit in chapter 5. And he doesn't always stay slow. He'll accelerate at times, but he spends more time with the parables, with Jesus' teachings, with his interactions with the Pharisees, with his disciples. But you can find additional details elsewhere. And so as we walk through Mark and we walk through Lent in the wilderness with Jesus, take time, read those other gospels, and look for those differences. And I advise you, just start with today's. And you'll find that in Mark, there's no birth story. There's no angel talking to Mary and Joseph. There's no shepherds. I mean, there's no stable. We start off right with John the Baptist. Mark goes right there. John is baptizing him in the River Jordan. He's proclaiming that another is coming who will not baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit. So in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, we hear the story of Jesus' baptism. Now, Jesus, it's fascinating. Jesus was without sin. Jesus had no need of water baptism. He already was perfect. He was God. And yet, Jesus takes the time to be baptized. He comes to John, and John baptizes him as he does others, with water. Now, what I found fascinating when I read in Mark is all these things happen really quickly, and it describes that heaven is torn open. I mean, it doesn't say heaven folded back or heaven stepped to the side. It's a violent act, isn't it? It's torn open. And then what comes out of that is a dove. The Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove coming down to earth. And Jesus hears the voice of his Father saying, "You are my Son. I love you. I like what you're doing." This is his anointing. This is his ministry being set out. Now, the question I have for you is, do you think anybody else who was there heard that or saw the heavens torn apart? Because when you read Mark's gospel, it sounds like it's personal to Jesus. But if you turn to a different account and you turn to the book of Matthew, that the whole crowd hears, all those who are gathered around John when Jesus comes and is baptized. And if you want to read another version, there's the Luke 3, 21 through 22. And then if you really want a completely different approach, you can turn to the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John, we don't even experience the event. What we hear is John the Baptizer giving testimony of what he did and what happened. So as we move to the next section, as Tim would say, real quick, that's the way Mark's approach it. He jumps to this next section and immediately at once, the Spirit leads Christ out into the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but when my kids were baptized, we had a party afterwards. We celebrated. Here it is, Jesus just had his baptism. He doesn't even get a chance to hang out with his friends. He doesn't get a chance to high-five the crowd. He's immediately sent out into the wilderness. There is no break. It's a rush. This is Mark we're talking about. So he doesn't get to do those things. In the Greek, it says at once, immediately. There is no hesitation. He's driven into the desert. But I don't want to keep that pace up as we're having a conversation about the wilderness and temptation. Let's slow it down a little bit as we talked about being tempted and being tested. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. He was alone, as this picture shows us. But was he? Jesus, at the end of these two verses, tells us Jesus was tended by the angels. See, when we're in the wilderness, we may think that we're alone. We may feel that it's just us. But we aren't. We're connecting. As we are faced with parazo in the Greek, which is to be tempted, to be tested. See, Jesus didn't need to be tempted. He was perfect. We already know that he overcomes. But for us, it's a little differently. And I look at, part of it is in this two short verses here, we hear the mention of wild animals. And then we hear that he was tended by the angels. Well, the question is, were the wild animals for him or against him? Were the wild animals the animals that we face all the time in our world after the fall? Or are the animals connected back to Christ the way they were with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? It doesn't tell us that. We're left wondering. But we're tested every day. I was in business for 35 years, and if you want to be tested, come into the business world. I had a software company that made a product that my clients would buy. Now, I was a CPA, and so this software company contacted me and said, "Hey, Bob, you're talking to people about what we do. Here's what we'd like you to do. Advise them to buy our software." Oh, and did we mention that we have a commission program? So if you do that, we'll pay you. Well, if you don't know, a CPA really isn't allowed to do that. And so I thanked them and said, I understand your offer, appreciate it, can't do it. And they said, "Oh, we understand the rules that CPAs have, so we'll write the checks to your wife." Oh, it couldn't just tempt me once, could they? Well, my professor in college, Stan Lindquist, said no one ever offered him enough money to really test his ethics. And in this instance, it didn't matter what the number was. It's wrong, right? So you say no. And if you notice, the ones I'm sharing are ones I passed, by the way. I'm not going to share the ones I failed because I don't want to open up too much. And you don't want to hear them. But I had other situations. Actually, this is one of my favorites. I was down south doing work with a company. I was meeting with the assessor. We got everything figured out. And we sat down afterwards over lunch. And he said, Bob, I like you. And I enjoy spending time with you. So what we're going to do is next year when you file that return, I'm going to assess them up here. You'll come down, go out to a nice dinner, and then I'll set it where it belongs. You make money, I get a nice meal and get to hang out with somebody I like. How many of you would do that? There are people who do, or else he wouldn't be making the offer, right? I passed the test. Those are the only two stories you're hearing, though. Because we're all tested, and it can be for a short period of time. I mean, Jesus was tested 40 days and 40 nights by Satan. I mean, this is pretty direct. We're tested maybe for a short period of time, and maybe one where we think the test has ended, and we get almost out of the wilderness, and we're back in because we make a wrong decision. And for Jesus, this wasn't the last time Jesus was tested. Same thing for us. As long as you're on this earth, you're going to be tested, you're going to be tempted, and it's usually going to take different forms. For Jesus, it was those in power. They were constantly testing him, constantly pushing him, constantly questioning him. Who are those that are doing that to you, that are testing you? So as we look at this tested in the wilderness, I want to give you a little bit more information because Mark is so short. And you're like, well, what kind of tests? If you want more information, go to Luke chapter 4. You can get more information of how Satan tempted Jesus. Read that, and you'll get a little bit more of the story of what went on in the wilderness and how Jesus prevailed over Satan through the Word of God. So I shared a couple of my wildernesses that are minor. What's one of your wildernesses? Where do you find yourself out where you don't want to be? Missy, when she was sharing with the kids, she described wildernesses in a lot of different ways. We had high school and college freshman youth up here as well as the adult leaders. High school can be a wilderness, can it, Gabrielle? You're constantly faced with temptations, constantly faced with challenges. For me, one of mine was college. When I first went to college, I almost flunked out. My grade point average after two terms, 1.5. I failed the tests, literally. It was a wilderness for me. I was being tested, and through it all, God was with me. I was not alone. Didn't know it at the time, though. And so when we look at these wildernesses, as you think as ones you're either in currently or you've been in, I'm going to throw up some examples. There's a real-life wilderness right there on the screen. Rocks and sagebrush, very inhospitable. An emergency room. When we're faced with a medical crisis, you go from everything being good to being in the wilderness and being tested. Technology. We're more connected now than we've ever been, and we're less connected now than we've ever been. It's a wilderness where people find themselves alone all the time. Financial burdens. Even a major metropolitan city with a million people around you can be a wilderness because we're all being tested, regardless of where we are, regardless of how good we think we have it. How are you being tempted? How are you being tested? For some of you, it's your health or others around you that are having health issues. For some of us, it's financial. Fighting through those issues. Right now, politics is a wilderness and we're being tested every day. Some of us are being tested by scarcity or believing that there's not enough. our relationships can be a test for us, a challenge. Where we spend our time can be a challenge. And as human beings, when we're tested, we often fall short. When the Hebrew people were being tested, they had God with them during the day as a pillar of cloud, at night as a pillar of fire, provided them food, water, everything they needed, and they had God. But in Exodus chapter 16, they complain. You brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? I can just imagine God going, are you kidding me? What more do I have to show you people? And then when Moses goes up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments in Exodus 32, he's gone a little bit longer than they thought he should be. So yet again, they turn from God and say, hey, Aaron, could you like make us a gold calf to worship? Because we think Moses is dead and God left us again. We have those same struggles. That was a whole people who were tested. We're tested as individuals as well as a people. The Israelites failed to recognize at times that God was in the wilderness with them. For us, the Holy Spirit is there when we're being tested, when we're being tempted. And it may not be in the form of just a spirit. It may be someone who's in that wilderness with you. Who spends time with you in the wilderness? Who are you connected to? Who is the Holy Spirit for you? Because when you come out of the wilderness, I wonder, it probably won't be the same way when Jesus did. As we jump to the third piece of this very rapid story with a lot of different parts, we learn very quickly, Jesus passed the test. The good news is both from God and about God. The good news is forgiveness, it's restoration, it's new life in Christ Jesus. See, the time had come. A decisive time. Action was about to take place. With Jesus, something special was happening. Show repentance and faith. Jesus has entered the world. The kingdom is here, and it continues to be here, and it will be here in the future. Now, on the sermon note sheet that some of you may have picked up, there's a question I put there. And it asks, what does it mean to repent? Now, I'm going to answer it in the simple terms. I'm going to pretend I'm Mark. Do it very quickly. It means to turn from sin and live a Christ-like life. There you go. But the real question, and one I can't answer for you, is what does it mean to you? And you can't answer it for what it means to me. Because each of us is being tempted and tested in our own ways. So I have to ask myself, how will I repent and turn back to Christ? How will I let the Holy Spirit come over me and overcome those unclean spirits that are tempting me? It says, the Gospel of Mark tells us we need to return to God. Do not rely on those earthly things. If success, money, are your security, I tell you no. I will tell you that family, worship, service to others, turning to God, that is the way to overcome those temptations. So this week, as you go throughout your week, we do have a challenge for you. And that is to be an angel who's tending to someone who's being tested in the wilderness. You see, Christ had the angels tending to him. How will you be an angel and tend to someone else while they're in their wilderness? And who knows, it may even help you through yours. And as a bonus challenge, read Matthew and Luke, the verses that line up with this. And if you have trouble finding those, come see me, find Pastor Sherry, or you can use the internet. Just type in those verses and then say, same as, and it'll show up. Please join me in prayer. Creator God, we find ourselves in the wilderness, we find ourselves questioning whether or not you are there with us. We know better, but we forget. We need to hear those voices around us that are guiding us, telling us the right things. We but need listen. And we know that we can come out of the wilderness. We know that we are being tended to. And we know that your power, the Holy Spirit, is within us. Guide us as we walk and journey through the wilderness with Christ. Amen.